Saturday night when I went to see Adele, because loving Adele so much and one of the most brilliant concerts, but I out of respect to her, I was just obsessed with her. Couldn't stop looking at, couldn't really see her that clearly every time she walked around the round, but I was watching her on the screen going, you're just amazing. And I told this story yesterday and I'm going to repeat it because... You will remember. Oh, hello, Dave.
Dave,
just roll in, mate.
Very active there in his sort of separate studio today, and he's very active in there. A lot of wobbling around.
What are you talking about? I just moved the microphone. It just so happens I'm down.
You shook Melbourne.
Did you just fall off the chair?
Well, it just so happens I'm down the line in Canberra, guys. So this tin cup that I'm working through makes a bit of chatter.
Not a problem.
So anyway, you have to talk to Malcolm to get an upgrade up here in Canberra.
So you're at Adele.
So there I was at Adele, and I was enjoying it with my mum, as you would. And then mum and I having a great night. We'd got our magnums. And how good are the roving magnum people at the Adele concert?
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, you didn't sneak one in.
No, chocolate ice cream magnums.
Big magnum bottle.
No. Anyway, and then when Adele sang the song Send My Love to You. No, what is it? Send my love to your new lover. She said, guys, think about somebody that you wanted to get out of your life. And I remember going, oh, this is hard. Because Adele has so many breakup songs. And I'm in a really happy place in my life at the moment. So I'm not really into... sad songs.
Yeah,
and
but Boxy, surely there's someone in the studio you probably want out. Like, which three of us?
No.
Like, there's one of us.
It'll be me.
No, but I thought to myself, well, I'll have to go back into my back catalogue. And I went back in my mind.
Back catalogue?
Well, it's been a couple of years of dating. And I went back to my...
You're the only person that has a breakup bank. Like, you just...
No, but my first boyfriend, and it was the worst heartbreak of my life because I was so young and I was like 19 or 20 and it was 3 years to get over him. And, you know, that stage in your life when you're really heartbroken and every love song reverberates and you take it, you're crying in the car while you're singing a love song. So while she was singing this song, I was trying to think about him and I was going back into that mindset of being really heartbroken. And then, unbelievably... he walked in front of me.
Popped up.
He just walked down the aisle. Well, the aisle was in front of me. He walked across with his two beers and his little crate, heading back to his seat. And I just thought it was like I'd conjured him because my brain was literally saying, oh, try and remember that pain and
his
maybe you can get into
powers.
This song.
Whoa.
Incredible.
And there he was.
Is it the same guy from the snow?
No, different guy from the start. No, that was a crush.
Oh, crush.
That guy still doesn't know I had a crush on him.
He was in the car, but the other guy who had their crush on was in there.
Crushes and exes are very different things, Feb.
Yes,
I'll let you know.
I understand that.
But it was very much what I like to call a pop-up ex. Now, fortunately, he didn't see me. I had no interest in reaching out to him and having a chat. No, he's dead. He's long gone.
Gotcha.
But... yeah.
So when you say pop-up X, so this is just like one of those pop-up stores, is it?
Yeah.
They just stand at a street for a week and give away, I don't know, free relationships? I don't get it.
Dave, do you remember you were here? Remember it was a few years ago when we were having a meeting after the show and our boss at the time and our general manager came up to our meeting room and just stood there a bit awkwardly and nervously and said, Fee, can we just have a chat with you for a second? And I was like, oh, gosh, what have I done? I'm in trouble. And they whisked me away from the group and said, look, just to want to give you the heads up and just see if you're okay with this, but we've just employed your ex-boyfriend to come back and work in sales. And I remember going, that's fine.
And now neither of them work.
None of them work here.
Actually, I haven't seen either of them for years. I don't know where they went.
Yeah, and then he's gone too. But I remember at the time going, that is so fine. More people were awkward about it than he and I were.
Yeah, no, you guys were
like,
fine.
Okay. But that's it's a pop-up ex. They can pop up in your workplace or you can be at a party having a great night and then, oh, there he is. Why are you here? Leave.
Well, give us a call right now. Let's see if we can find some other pop-up exes.
Where is your ex just popped up?
131060 is the number.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Exes can pop up anywhere, Fifi.
They do. Like I said, on Saturday night at Adele, there I was at Etihad, just reminiscing, hearing a love song and thinking about a particular boyfriend of mine that I was glad was out of my life. And then he walked in front of me. It was amazing.
Yes, it's amazing.
Jaffa's Tuesday.
Thank you.
What are the odds? There's only 70,000 people there. What are the odds?
131060, pop-up exes. When has your ex popped up? Maybe it was the worst time possible. Maybe it was a good thing. Who knows?
I reckon if you're in a crowd of 75 to 80,000, you're going to have one ex floating around.
No, hang on. That is still amazing. The fact that I had conjured him in my brain and was thinking, oh, yeah, remember when I was heartbroken over that guy? What was I thinking? There he is. That
pop-up. It impressed me. I mean, maybe it's just me. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
70,000 people. That's a lot of people. Like, and he just walked in front of me. Give me a break. That's outstanding. Antonio from Thomastown. Hi, Antonio.
How's it going?
Really well, Antonio. Where have you had an ex pop up?
You won't believe it, but she was at my granddad's funeral.
Antonio. Sorry, what? Did she know your granddad through you?
No, she knew him through another family member, and I had no idea. And I was with my girlfriend at the time. She was holding my hand, and my ex came up to me and gave me a kiss and a smile. I said, sorry for your loss, and walked off, and I just had the biggest evils for my missus at the time.
Oh, Antonio, that would have been so awkward.
Yeah, it was pretty awkward.
But not your fault. I mean, and also, you're there grieving the passing of your beloved grandfather.
Yeah, it's not the time to.
You don't need that.
Be worrying
grief.
About that nonsense. Yeah, thanks, Antonio. Well,
yeah, or your missus giving you daggers. You're like, bro, of all days, give me a break.
Yes. James from Reservoir. Hi, James.
Hi, how are you?
Really well, James. Where's your ex just popped up?
I was actually at my cousin's wedding.
Your cousin invited your ex to their wedding?
No, she actually came with a date. So the guy my cousin married brought her. So
were you on your own, James, or did you have a new partner?
No, I was on my own, so it was fresh. It was pretty fresh. It was like 2-3 months in.
Oh no, wedding crashes!
James, how long had you been broken up?
2-3 months.
15 months.
2-3 months.
Oh, two or three months. That's very fresh. Wow. That's no fun. Stay away from relatives' weddings.
The funerals and weddings so far.
It's interesting, isn't it? Kirsty from Ferntree Gully, I'm guessing, Kirst?
That's right.
Yeah, Kirsty, please tell us, where did your ex just pop up?
So I'm a midwife, and I got asked to go into a labour room at work. I opened the door. And my ex was in there with his new partner having babies.
How long since you've broken up?
Tell me you've been broken up for more than 9 months.
Yeah. It was more than 9 months. It had been a little while. It was a short-lived fling, but it was still awkward.
Oh, Kirsty, that's so awkward. Did the woman in labour know that you were her partner's ex?
She had no idea.
Oh, well, then that's one thing. That's a bit of a...
It was one thing, so we just dealt with that afterwards.
Did you and he have really sort of awkward eye glances?
There was definitely like a pause in the room when I walked in, and I just sort of looked away and looked at her and went, hi, I'm Kirsty.
The next minute you're between...
She came for a second baby a few years later as well.
Did you introduce yourself to the ex?
I did. Afterwards, after our baby was born, I was like, hi, congratulations, how are you doing?
That is awkward. That's
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Kate Middleton has come out and talked about her beautiful children, Prince George and Princess Charlotte, but she's explained that little Princess Charlotte is in fact the boss of the household.
Oh.
She runs the joint. So, why are you laughing?
She runs the joint.
Was that a direct quote from the royal family?
I've just used my own language there to interpret what she was trying to say. Right. Well, let's be honest. So, Prince George is 4 and little Charlotte's only, she wouldn't even be 2 maybe. But she's growing up fast and she's telling everyone what to do. I thought that was quite interesting.
Interestingly
as well.
That little
girls get to run the world.
Your daughter... has actually called this show Trixie Box. Your 3-year-old has called 131060, which is interesting timing.
It is.
Good morning, Fiona.
Yes, darling. What are you doing calling the show?
First and foremost, Pearl is just sitting next to me furious as she sent you the elocution questions after you said the phrase, she runs the joint. Way to refer to the Buckingham Palace as the joint, the work.
Huh? Okay. Criticism taken on board.
Look, my ears were burning because I realised that you mentioned my future beau, Prince G. Me and him would be hooking up in a not-so-distant future. I don't know if the fact that Charlotte will be running the roost. Oh, don't think so. When the big dog turns up, things will change. But I do like this little schism, Fiona. There it is. A 2-year-old running the house. It's Kate finally gave in on it. When will you?
Well, darling, you are. I often say to you that you're the boss. But even really, mummy's the boss. But mummy's really the boss.
Okay, that was cute. Now, look. Look, the proof is in the pudding. I don't know if anyone picked up a Twash mag recently.
No.
But finally, they put a picture of the big dog in with Brendan in my Wonder Woman outfit. Oh, guess what? No Fiona Box standing next to me. Looks like they cut out the middleman, went straight to the top. Oh,
I did see that.
Why is Trixie looking at those magazines?
I know, why is she? We did notice that you got your own photo all by yourself, which was interesting.
Interesting. Oh, what an interesting turn of phrase. Oh, sounds like yesterday's news darken up. Look, Fiona, listen, and listen well. This is the beginning of the end. It is the dawn of Twixie's reign. Although, I still need you to come home because I did poopies in my pants and someone is changing.
Okay, go, bye-bye. See you later.
Oh, well, peace out, bitches.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
There's a poor guy. He's over in India and he studied for years. He's a marine engineer. He came out second from his batch at the university, the Neural University over there in India. Yet he's unemployable. He cannot get a job. And he has claimed, and I don't think he's that wrong, it's because of his name. His name is Saddam Hussein.
That rings a bell.
That's bad luck. Like, that's really bad luck. And he's even saying that 25 years ago when his parents chose his name, Saddam Hussein was a fine name to have. In fact, he's alleged that lots of people in India do. It's a very common name. Mm. But a lot of people aren't going for jobs that require, like, he's applying to multinational shipping companies. So I guess when a multinational sees Saddam Hussein's applying for a job, he's less likely to get an interview.
It wouldn't be that hard to change your name, though, would it, Dave?
Well,
remember the Geelong guy that changed his name?
Oh, to Whiskers, Gary Hocking.
Gary Hocking changed his name to Whiskers.
That's true. I think what hurts for Saddam, though, is he was at uni with a guy called Adolf Hitler and he got employed. So I think it's him.
But you would think he's at a stage, because people do change their names over smaller things.
Yeah, like I know, Gregory Cook.
Correct.
I was wondering how long it would take for you to bring up my first name is Gregory and my middle name's Byron. I go by my preferred middle. But that's just a minor sort of aesthetic.
But
that's not
like,
the name of a dear brutal dictator.
But it's people, like the shame is when there's not just brutal dictators, but even bad criminals and they've got your name and then suddenly you go, Ivan Malat's not as much fun as it was when I was a kid.
Sure.
People have now got a negative connotation. But I know somebody called Michael Jackson, and they said they end up having to change their name to Mikey. And he didn't even like being a Mikey. He didn't want to be a Mikey. He liked being a Michael. But better to be Mikey Jackson than Michael Jackson.
It's like Muhammad Ali's son keeps getting detained at the airports.
Because he's Muhammad Ali.
Yeah. And he's like, well, that's my dad. And he's like, they think he's like a phony. Remember, you know,
Wow.
Keeps getting pulled over. But if you're Saddam Hussein, the Indian, which one would you change? The first name or the last name?
Hussein is very common. You'd
Hussein's
change Saddam.
If you were just Stephen.
You can go Paul Hussein. Yeah, Stephen.
You're fine.
Great name.
But let's do it the other way.
Great
Saddam. Colour. Yeah, I'd get rid of it. I'd drop Saddam, I reckon. Yeah.
Stephen Hussein.
Stephen Hussein.
Fixed.
He's fine. But that is an unfortunate name. 131060. Have you got a name that you, when your parents named you, it seemed fine? And then later in life, you've realised not so much. Maybe you know of somebody. It's just unfortunate connections to a name.
What do you reckon, Brian?
We'll take your call. Byron thinks it's a great phone topic. Greg doesn't.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Saddam Hussein. No, he's not a fallen dictator. He is also an Indian chap who is very keen to get a job in marine engineering, but can't, even though he finished second in his university, because his name is Saddam Hussein. And it's just an unfortunate name. And it can often happen. When your parents name you at birth, you might be unique. And then Chris Hemsworth, he becomes a big global superstar and you're just Chris Hemsworth, and when you walk in to a party, everyone goes, oh, I thought you meant the other Chris Hemsworth. Do you know what I mean? So much attached to a name. Leanne.
Good analogy.
Well, there's a Facebook person, and I don't know if they're still around, but I remember they changed their thing to "I'm not that Fifi Box." I was like, "Well, it's pretty rare." Like, I'm sorry, I thought I went quite niche. Anyway, Leanne from Croydon. Hi, Leanne.
Hello,
Leanne. Do you know you've got a friend who's got an unfortunate name?
I was introduced to a man who is good friends with a friend of mine, and she said, "Hi, this is Upham," And I said, Upham, hi, Upham, how are you doing? And we had a conversation and we spent the afternoon together. And I thought, that's an unusual name. And then when he left, she said his surname is McCracken.
Upham McCracken.
Upham McCracken.
That's not an old wives' tale. That's not an actual story, surely.
So he's a New Zealander? And maybe Upham...
No, he's not.
That's not a nickname. That's 100% a nickname.
That's not true.
Like, his full name's not Upperthan or something.
It sounds like Bart Simpson when he rings Moe's.
Oh, that's brilliant.
You'd be able to sue your parents for being such a dude.
Well, yeah, yeah. Get it. No,
made me laugh.
It's a fake story.
Thank you for that, Aaron. Aaron from Cranbourne. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, guys. I actually work with a guy whose name is Martin Bryant.
Oh, Aaron. Has he, I mean, that is an unfortunate connotation with one of this country. Well, no, this country's worst serial killer.
Oh, man.
Arguably one of the world's. So that's, now, Aaron, how does he handle that? Does he acknowledge it?
Yeah, I mean, we just call him Marty.
Yeah, Marty. Of course. Yeah. Has he ever considered, did he ever go through a period of considering changing his name from Brian?
Not that we know of, anyway, no.
Oh, that's a shame.
Does he know anyone called Uppity? Does he?
Sarah from Seabrook. Hi, Sarah.
Morning. I used to work with a lady, so we're teachers, and her name was Gay Kid.
Gay Kid?
Gay Kid.
Oh, yes. That's like, you know, there's not enough gays around anymore. I remember a lot of my friends' mums were named Gay. I love that.
G-A-Y-E.
Yeah.
No, her name was just G-A-Y.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's very cute. Right. I love a punchy two-syllable name.
Gay Kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Lyndall from Hillsville. Hi, Lyndall.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Really well, Lyndall. What's
love
your unfortunate...
Love listening to you guys. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Lyndall. That's lovely to say that.
Such a good drive to work listening to you. So thanks so much. You make my day.
Oh, you're
my poor kids, my teenagers, go to high school, and their teacher's name is Mr. Anil Joy.
Anil Joy.
Anil Joy?
Well, they don't say it like that.
That's not...
Oh, I can see. You're right. Look, it's one of those names that in the... wrong hands can be pronounced in a way.
No, but the name's Anil, so that's just Anil.
Well, that's not how the kids call it.
No, Fev, the way Fev interpreted it would be the way a kid would interpret it.
Right.
Do you remember Bart on The Simpsons when he rings Mo?
Yeah.
And he goes, hello, Mo, is there a Hugh Jass there? Hello, everybody. Hugh Jass. You've got a Hugh Jass. go to a song, mate.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Yeah, we're talking about being in love with somebody else when you're getting married. Oh. And it happens. And there's a book out that's saying that Prince Charles wept on his wedding night to Diana because he was still in love with Camilla. Now, I mean, there is an argument to say, we will never know what happened behind closed doors, but clearly he re-entered that relationship after his marriage to Diana, and now they're blissfully in love and have been for years. Hmm. So he obviously still held a candle. And, you know, you don't mean to. You can love one person, want to walk down the aisle and marry them, but still have feelings for someone else. And you can, I imagine, Fev and Byron, you've been married.
Yes.
Yep. there is a lot of emotion that swells around that event, and I imagine...
I was pretty happy with Schnooksy.
No, no, you
then she divorced me, and now I'm marrying her again.
Went
back.
That's
will
a
you be thinking of, you know, of anyone else? As
I'll be thinking of her.
Yeah, okay.
I love amazing
this.
She looks.
I love this. Fev will actually be thinking about his ex while he's marrying Alex.
Oh, good point.
Because Alex is his ex.
Yes.
It's great.
I'll be going, it's me ex. Alex is there. Oh, same person.
Oh, I love it.
So there's not those unrequited feelings for Katy Perry. You'll be able to move through those?
Yeah, I didn't hear back.
Didn't get back from the generic tweet he sent you on Christmas 2015.
And it was brought on by Alex, who is my ex, now my fiancée. She brought me the book, so.
Vanessa in Greensboro. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, Vanessa. Now, Vanessa, thank you so much for ringing up to share.
No worries.
Were you getting married but in love with someone else?
No. My ex-boyfriend, we were together for a year. 6 months after we broke up, he was actually engaged and back with his ex-girlfriend, the one before me.
Wow.
Yeah, so on the night of his wedding day, he called me up crying. And then every day on his honeymoon, called me up crying.
What? Vanessa.
Yeah, and then he kind of kept harassing me for the next couple of months, and I found out that they're still together actually now.
Vanessa, that is a huge thing. Mm. So it's his wedding night and he's called you crying. What is he saying to you?
He was like, I'm going to be thinking about you when she's walking down the altar, when she's doing this and she's doing that. When we go back to the hotel, I'm like, you've got to leave me alone. You're getting married tonight, please.
Vanessa, why did you ask him, why are you marrying this girl if you're clearly in love with me?
I was asking him that for a very long time. Don't worry. He's like,
what was his answer?
He's like, I love her, but I don't know what to do because, like, you're the love of my life. I really want you, but we can't be together. This and continuing on and on and on and on.
See, that's interesting, isn't it? Because there are different, if you've been in a few relationships, there are different types of love and you can love, oh man, Vanessa, that is a tough one. But you obviously had no feelings for him.
No, none whatsoever. After we broke up, it was done.
Done. Oh, wow. That's an extreme version of what we were talking about.
Vanessa just put him in the catalogue.
Yeah. Back catalogue, yeah.
There you go. Pop him back there. Sarah in Caroline Springs.
Now, this one's sensitive, guys, to the point. Oh. Sarah wants our voice disguiser technology, which
Byron,
is not...
are you confident with the voice
disguiser? I'm never super confident.
Let's just test it. Are you there, Sarah?
I am. How are you?
Good.
You're beautifully voiced disguised, Sarah. We would never know what your true identity is.
Perfect.
But obviously this is quite sensitive, so what's going on?
So on my wedding day, I walked down the aisle, still in love with my ex-boyfriend, hoping that it was him.
Sarah,
oh, are you still married?
I'm still married, yeah. I've been married just under 2 years, close to 2 years.
How did you end up in this situation, Sarah? Like, firstly, why did you break up with the love of your life? And then how did you end up wanting to marry someone else?
So my ex-boyfriend was a Muslim and his family would not accept me. Then we had to obviously break up and I met someone else and I ended up marrying him instead. But it wasn't, it's been very unhappy.
You're unhappy in the marriage?
Because it's not the person I love and the person I really want to be with.
So you still love him?
I do love him, but I really wanted to be with my ex.
Yeah, so you love your ex more?
Yeah, definitely.
Has he got someone now? Has he moved on or?
I'm not sure.
Sarah, this is extraordinary. Was there part of you, because I'm somebody that sort of, I always wait. I've never wanted to be in a relationship that I haven't felt that full intense love. Did you think about waiting longer before you got married? Because maybe you'll find a similar connection with somebody else that you had with your ex?
Definitely, but I'm close to 30. I thought my time could be picking up to have kids and I sort of just wanted to get the ball rolling a little bit, so...
No, I get that, Sarah. You are not alone. You hear that more and more, particularly for girls, for women, when they broach their 30s. There is, and whether... it's something we should talk about because it's a fact. There isn't a panic that can kick in, and then you can look at the guy you're with and go, well, it's not... there's no fireworks, he doesn't set my world on fire, but I want to start that next phase of my life.
I mean, if this was this is real life, this is not a movie, but if this was a movie, Sarah would somehow in a turn of events end up with the man that she's in love with. Could that in any way, could it be possible?
I don't think so. He has tried to get in contact, but I've tried to do the right thing by not contacting him or speaking to him, but... yeah, I'm just trying to, I don't know, hopefully wait it out and see how we go over the next couple of years, but I don't know what to do myself.
Sarah, this has seriously got Jack and Rose Titanic all over it. Like,
it does.
It does.
Have you spoke to your husband about this? Does he know?
No, definitely
not. It's not really fair on him, is it?
No, it's not fair on him at all, but I can't speak to him about that.
Yeah, it's a very
sensitive
point.
No, of course you
can't.
And I think that the great thing is, Sarah, you are respectful. You're not trying to pursue your ex. You're not in contact with him. You're trying to make the best of the situation. Would you leave your husband for this guy if you could?
If the opportunity arose, I don't know. I don't know. I try not to think about it like that, but it's definitely very hard,
Oh,
just because you sort of imagine that person in everything you do, and it's not the husband that you're actually imagining, which is the saddest thing for him.
I know, and he'll never know.
Yeah.
Look, Sarah, thank you so much for sharing that. It's stuff of romance movies and this thwarted love that cannot be, but you're making the best of the situation. So I hope... I don't know. I hope that you do find that true, intense happiness with your husband, though.
Now, all the guys that are listening will go home and quiz their wives. who was your ex?
Yeah, yeah.
Or they'll go to Toys R Us and get a voice disguise. They're like, can you just whack this off?
It's 22 days. Oh, nice. On 101.9 The Fox.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron. 101.9 The Fox.
Well, it's great to have her back in the studio. It's not every day we get to speak to this superstar. It's probably about every third or fourth day. No, I'm joking. She's not here very often at all.
Not only, you know, my favourite guest we have on this show, we've also formed a friendship over the years, which excites me no end. But everyone loves her. Melbourne, Australia love her. Catherine Kelly Lang. Welcome back to the studio.
I love you guys. I'm so happy to be here. It's so good to see my dear old friend.
I know. And filming in Australia again after so many years.
You know, I can't tell you how excited I am that we're celebrating our 30th anniversary by shooting here in Australia. So we are in Sydney doing pieces of 10 episodes and then we go back home and we do the interior of the Australian episodes. But we were shooting at all the iconic places, you know, the Sydney Harbour, the Sydney Harbour Bridge, the Sydney Harbour Opera House, the beaches, the fabulous wharfs. And I mean, it's just going to look beautiful.
It's really exciting for us to be here shooting this.
Yeah.
And then there was an opportunity for us to be on the show.
Yeah.
Kelly, you won't believe this, because there was a bit where...
Wait, did you come or no?
No, we didn't, because I had a clash because I'm filming Neighbours. That's the show you're
on, remember? I know, you're Brooke, right?
Yes, I'm Brooke.
So that's a shame because they had so many great cameos.
I know.
We were here,
and we missed out.
But all the people on all the, you know, Studio 10,
they
Channel
all 10. Did.
And, yeah, they all did.
Well, we were supposed to be there, but
oh my God,
filming
it would have
been great.
Clash.
Oh, that's geez.
So what do you do? Do you do Neighbours or do you do
Well, exactly. Exactly. Well, I would have chosen it over you. But now wait for this.
All this actors and actor talk and TV shows, whatever. Now, I've never acted before, never been on a TV show like that, and I've just been cast by Neighbours to star with Fifi.
He's going
to
be in Neighbours too.
Yes. So,
but he hasn't had any acting experience, and since you're here,
you're doing this, the finest actress on American television,
to have your help... Well, we were thinking we might be able to do a little scene for you.
Of course.
And you could give some constructive feedback to Fev on how to help him. Now, Fev, you've selected
I'm not
the
a very good reader, so I might struggle.
This is a very famous script from the end scene of Titanic, guys.
Is it?
So, I mean, this is the one that you've got to work with.
So okay, so I'm playing Rose and Fev, you're playing Jack. Okay, any tips you want to give us along the way?
Okay,
here we go.
You need to help me a lot.
James Cameron's pretty litigious too. This is good.
Okay. Okay, here we go. I love you, Jack.
No, don't say goodbyes, Rose. Don't give up. Don't do it.
I'm so cold.
You're going to get out of this. You're going to go on. You're going to make babies and watch them grow. You're going to die an old lady warm in your bed, Rose. Not here, not this night. Do you understand me?
I can't feel my body.
Rose. Thief's appalling. Someone crack a window.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. This is serious.
Rose, listen to me.
Titanic was a comedy.
Winning this ticket is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I brought it. It brought you to me. I'm so thankful, Rose. I'm thankful. You must do me this honour. Promise me you will survive, that you will never give up. No matter what happens, no matter how hopeless, promise me now. Never let that promise go.
I promise.
Mm-hmm. Never let go.
I'll never let go, Jack. I'll never let go.
I love you.
I love you too.
Oh, and he's falling over.
How many people snore when they die?
Sad moment. So that was him going under the water, I think.
Oh, yeah.
My bad.
So there's potential.
That was a good scene. I don't think you have anything to worry about.
Oh, well, thank you.
Honestly. Now, if it's a scene like that, but what if it's a different scene?
See how it's done. Bold and the Beautiful on 10 is how it's actually done. So obviously tune in for Catherine Kelly Lang. As always, thanks for joining us on The Fox.
Enjoy Australia.
Yes, I love it here.
Oh, we love having you here.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Now, this was happening over in the States. You were watching it, actually, weren't you?
Yeah, Fev? I come in. This is the only thing I've brought to this show in about 3 weeks.
It's the BNP Paribas Open. I've never heard of it. You're a big fan of this.
It's a big
event. What did you say they call it?
It's the Indian Wells.
Indian Wells.
Anyway, so there is the gorgeous Elena Vesnina. She's beaten Svetlana Kuznetsova. So she's beaten her. She's getting her trophy. Mind you.
She's in a press conference.
She's at a press conference. Another guy. Sure, he won the men's. What's his name?
Roger Federer. He was playing Stan Wawrinka.
There we go. Good.
They were just about to finish their tournament. Swiss. And she's in a press conference, and the director of the tournament come across to her, and she was joking around and saying she had a 3-hour battle, so she'd come back and she's got her trophy, and she's like, I've worked so hard for this. And the tournament director said this.
No, there's no audio of the tournament director saying anything.
I thought there was.
No. Oh, actually, yes, there is.
Good.
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. Fev, can I just take a stab? Did the tournament director say, I'm going to have to stop you, I'm sorry, but Moonlight actually won? Is that what happened?
No, here we go. The tournament director did say this. You're right, Fev. Here we go.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. We only have one of these. And the guys' final is about to end.
Ah, yes, oh, wow. One each. Oh, okay.
Weirdest thing ever.
Don't take
it. I'll bring it back. I might have followed
you. Okay,
you get to have your own later.
It's okay.
I don't want to put Byron down. I don't want to put you down, mate, but you got one job.
Yeah, you had one job.
And it's the same as a tournament director. You got one job.
Hey,
get two trophies.
Wait a minute, I'll get you out of this. It sounds like that guy's an Indian Wells giver. Yes! Yes! Yes!
Help.
Go to a song!
How do you muck up a trophy? I mean, aside from any mistakes I make on the radio show.
I've never heard of the BNP Paribas Open over there in Indian Wells.
It's a big tournament. All the big stars.
You tell me it's a big tournament. Yeah. I would imagine, like 101, when you're putting on a big tennis tournament, have two trophies ready for the presentation.
You get two trophies.
So whoever that trophy, if that's your job in life, to make the trophies for the big tournaments, just two. You've got one job is to get two trophies. It does seem reminiscent of only a few weeks ago at the Oscars, that poor guy Brian who lost his job, the accountant who unfortunately didn't give the correct. What was it? La La Land?
It was the envelope. He got the movie wrong.
The movie wrong. He said La La Land when it was
Moonlight.
How unforgettable. Do you know what the shame about that is? I've now forgotten the movie that won Best Oscar. All I remember is what went down.
Yes.
But that guy had one job.
One job.
13-10-60. When did you have one job? Or somebody at work, there was just one job and they couldn't get that bit right.
I'll tell you,
the guy who comes up after us, Buzz, is doing a really good job. Mm. Pushes all the right buttons. Be getting a bit worried over there, Byron.
Anyway, we'll take a break. I will admit, and this is lying around, so I may as well get on the front foot and quickly play it before someone else suggests we do.
Okay.
The very show I ever did with this breakfast show, years in the making, was very excited to join Dave and Fief at the time. This was the first morning, so I'm very pumped. What are we going to do in our intro? How exciting. And this is how it went.
19 degrees on 101.9 The Fox.
Tell you what, we're running like a well-oiled machine this morning. Nikki Markovic, ladies and gentlemen. Did you hear a whole bunch of audio that...
Nikki, what happened?
Turn your mic on as well, Fief.
I don't know. It's Monday. No, nothing's working.
Nikki, you know what? That was not your fault. That is the computers that are sitting in front of you. And you know what you didn't do? You didn't not turn my microphone on like Byron did. So welcome to the show, Byron.
Thanks.
And 1,110 shows in, you're still getting it wrong.
One job, turn on announcer's microphone.
I'll just press this button now.
That's it, mate.
For the ad break.
Just do it.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Someone had one job, Fief, and they've just stuffed it.
Yeah, Elena Vesnina, she's won the Indian Wells presentation trophy over there in the States for the big tournament there. Also, Roger Federer, he's won the men's. Now, while she was doing her press conference, she's holding her trophy, somebody jumped in and went, oh, excuse me, Vesnina, we're going to need that because Roger's just finished his match and we need to go and give it to him. You'll get another one later. And we were just saying, sometimes in life you have one job, and there was a guy... All he had to do was make two trophies, and then they've only got one, and the two are sharing it on the day, one of these biggest days of Indian Wells.
It's unbelievably strange that they wouldn't have two trophies.
I know.
They must have dropped one or broken it or something.
And we were saying, Fev, that sometimes in life you've just got one job. Like Byron's got one job over there, talking to the microphone and press buttons. Now, Fev, ironically, he asked you before to press a button, and you weren't ready.
She's got her trophy and she's like, I've worked so hard for this. And the tournament director said this.
No, there's no audio of the tournament director saying anything.
I thought there was. No.
Actually, yes, there is.
Good.
Oh, my God.
You had one job.
Ooh. I thought I was a real radio host then, too.
That was a smooth setup, in fairness to Fev.
Fev nailed it.
Beautiful setup.
Dimmy from Sydenham. Hi, Dimmy.
How are you, guys?
Yeah, great, Dimmy. Dimmy, have you got one job, mate, and you stuffed it?
Yes, I did. A couple of weeks back, my lawyer and my friend asked me to admit him to the legal profession, which involved getting in front of three Supreme Court judges, everyone's families and friends, and about 40 other law students and barristers and solicitors, and had two lines to say, and I just got up there and I just froze, and they stared at me, and it was possibly the worst 5 seconds, 10 seconds of my life.
Horrible.
Well, we do a segment on this radio station called This Is Your Moment. Well, you can have it now. What were your two lines?
It was something, I won't say his last name, but it was, I hereby admit Jake, et cetera, to the legal profession, and I froze.
Three judges did it right then.
Thanks, very good. Go doggies,
Feast. Go doggies. Yeah, go doggies, yeah. Dimmy. Oh, see, they had one job last year and they nailed it. I get that. I have mental blanks. Pete from Coburg. Hi, Pete.
Morning, guys.
Pete, did you have one job and you didn't quite get it right?
Yeah, I was my mate's best man a couple of months ago and left the rings at the hotel.
Oh,
yeah. Pretty bad.
That's textbook one job, isn't it? That is the
biggest job of them all.
In the dictionary.
Did you run back and get them?
Well, the problem was we were staying in the city in a hotel, and I put the rings in the safe, the hotel safe, and then the wedding was out in a winery. So it was about an hour and a half away.
Oh, no. Oh, that's shocking.
Outrageous. Bride wasn't happy.
Thank you very much, mate. Appreciate it, mate. So, that's it for us. Buzz with your old school, well, 100% old school, is coming up. He's got some old school Kanye, some Gaga, even some Five, if you love your boy bands. Five is going to be up. Fief's shaking her head. Five are great.
Okay.
Well, sorry, if you'd prefer NSYNC or Backstreet Boys, I'm sure he can do it for you.
Backstreet Boys.
It's 9:05, mate. Let's go.
Well, we're out of here.